Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, is with us as well. He joins us now as he does every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And Hutton, I think, as a showing of solidarity, not only for us on the show, but for the Titans coaching staff, you need to shave your head.
I did. I buzzed the head back in like fourth grade, believe it or not. That's the last time I've been anywhere close to that. I'm sure I'll have my issues, but I don't know if I'm going to go bald. I'll go gray very fast, though. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that we were talking about earlier in the program. Now that the hiring of Robert Saleh is official, as is the hiring of Brian Daboll as offensive coordinator, there's a long way to go this offseason. But what should Titans fans' level of confidence be in Mike Borgonzi based on the coaching hires he and the Titans were able to make?
I think the meter should be at the level of confidence, like confident and belief that the leader of the football part of the team now has a clue. I mean, and experience matters, and Borgonzi has. He's surrounded by guys in the front office who are advisors, consultants, whatever the title is, that have been there and done that, done the job. And now he's hired three experienced, proven play callers to lead the offense, defense, and special teams. You know, Saleh's running the show. He's calling the defense. He's had massive success there. Same goes for Daboll. He's developed quarterbacks at several stops. Bones Fossil has produced huge results on special teams. So the first takeaway here of the hire by Borgonzi and leading this hire is not only is he hiring experience, he's also projecting a confidence that these coaches are buying into, specifically wanting to work with him and the Titans. Which, I mean, if we were discussing this job, guys, a month ago, I'm not putting this up there where you've got Saleh and Daboll specifically seeking out the job for the roles. I mean, honestly, Saleh was saying he was going to be very specific and picky about where he went. I'm eager to hear what he has to say tomorrow at the press conference because of that. And look, I think it's also the ability to bring in talent. I think that's another sign, a good sign, when you have the two coaches, who one's second-time head coach, one's trying to be again, and they see a GM who appears to be able to draft okay so far, and an eye for talent that they buy into, and also buy into the philosophy of what they're going to do moving forward. And Cam Ward, too, by the way.
Is Bill Belichick not being a first ballot Hall of Famer a travesty of justice?
I think it's ridiculous.
Ask Derek how he feels about it.
I thought it was so stupid that Derek Jeter wasn't a first ballot unanimous Hall of Famer to Cooperstown, and that was just one vote. You know, this is 11 people who were swayed one way or the other over Deflategate and over Spygate, and I mean this is, there are examples. Brett Favre is one of them. John McClain will tell you the story. Whoever's presenting Brett Favre stands up and says, "May I present Brett Favre," and sits down, and they have a vote. It's a no-brainer if the dude's a Hall of Famer, and a first ballot one at that. If he's not a first ballot Hall of Fame coach, I don't know who is. And I don't know who will be, regardless of whatever's going on. The whole thing is just, it's all messed up. Like no accountability for who's voting for which guy. It's messed up. And then to have Polian say he doesn't remember if he voted, come on, man. The whole thing is just kind of crazy. And I did a triple take at it. I reread it and made sure I wasn't looking at a fake account when I saw the Schefter post, because it sounds so ridiculous. If you were to ask any, we all saw the reaction. I do wonder if they re-voted today, would Bill Belichick be a first ballot Hall of Famer based on the reaction? I don't know.
Well, I think the first mistake they made was putting he and Robert Kraft in the same voting class. I think that's where they went wrong first, because Robert Kraft, listen, for what it's worth, and I think he's paying for the atonement too of what Bill Belichick is paying for. And this is sort of my problem with this. I'm going to be the contrarian here.
Okay.
Is that, yes, Bill Belichick deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. No doubt. He deserves to be.
No doubt.
What's so wrong with waiting the next year? For this reason. When we talk about some of these other players, Lawrence Taylor, guys like that, it was things they did off the field that were horrible. And that, you rebuked them for it. But when it came to voting, I think people were, their thing was, well, that was off the field stuff. He didn't do that stuff on the field. So, okay, however you want to sort of slice it and make it fit what you want, then okay, that's fine. But he cheated the game so much so that there was the report that the NFL smashed the tapes. They got rid of them, everything. So that tells me that whatever they found was bad. And you were the head coach. So why not have to atone for those things when it comes to the one ultimate goal that you really want? Is to be a Hall of Famer. Why not say, you know what, because of that, because Polian, he wasn't the only guy that did it, supposedly. There were 10 other people. But why not say, one more year, we'll let you wait one more year. It's no big thing, but we're going to let you know you cheated the game. Just like Pete Rose, and people were up in arms of Pete Rose, but MLB stood by until, obviously to the end.
Right.
And they let him in. But this is the same thing. It wasn't something he did off the field. You did this on the field. And those players, including me, we were pissed at the time.
But he was punished for what he did on the field, right? By the NFL.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that those that are voting.
What's a one-year penance do? Like, so is Robert Kraft. You mentioned Robert Kraft and him being the same. Robert Kraft's the owner of the organization that did it. Is he going to be held accountable too and not get in?
No, I'm sure, because this is not his first. I don't think this is his first nomination. Meaning Kraft.
Well, that's the other problem, Mace, is they've got all these different windows now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The owner's being voted on with the coaches and the players.
I get it. I understand all that. I do.
But for the record, Armando Salguero, who works with OutKick as the NFL reporter, he presented Bill Belichick. And he said he went into this, it was on Zoom. He said he went into this knowing that it was going to take a little bit more effort. Because I had him on, Chad and I had him on today. I just asked him, I was like, did you not just stand up and say Bill Belichick? I present Bill Belichick to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's what they're going to do with Brady. And, so I'm assuming that's what they're going to do with Brady. And, guys, I look at it and think, you know what? I look back and I think, here's Bill Belichick, who's won all these titles prior to Spygate. And he's certainly had success after he was punished and the tapes were smashed. And Armando said he had to present it in a way that was arguing against Spygate. And he then countered it, and he still felt like, he did a poor job because, of course, he didn't get in. Bill Belichick didn't get in. And he did talk to Belichick prior to the presentation. And Belichick told him, everything they said and everything the NFL said I did it. I was punished for it. And he admitted, he said, I did all those things they said I did. So it's not
We don't know what he did because they smashed the tapes. Well, supposedly the they got rid of everything.
The NFL knows what. Okay, so if we don't know, then how are they keeping him out for being a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Because it's not the actual NFL that's doing it. It's those that are voting. They're looking at it. Right. Their pittance is for us. The NFL did what they were going to do. You know, it's okay, I put you where you're supposed to be. I gave you the fine. But now you got to deal with your daddy. Because I got you, but now you got to deal with your father when he comes home. And now he's come home and he's trying to walk himself into the Hall of Fame, and he only has to wait a year. That's my big thing.
So, but see, if you're just saying, you know, we're just going to make him wait a year.
Yeah, make him sweat it.
But he's really not sweating it, dude. I mean, everybody.
Oh, he's pissed that he's pissed.
Oh, he's pissed, but he's not sweating. I mean, everybody knows he's the GOAT. Like, he's Bill Belichick, head coach. I mean, Mace, you would say.
No, he deserves to be in. I don't want people to get me wrong. He deserves to be in.
I think it for what it was, like, there are other instances where, okay, Sean Payton is going to go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that not bounty gate?
I do. No. See, I put it, hey, you did the game wrong. I played the game that you did wrong, and I played in an era that you did it wrong. So, hell yeah, you're going to wait a year. I don't care. Okay. As a player, and I understand these other players. It's like, dude, y'all were the same guys that were complaining while we were complaining. Talk about New England, they need to have an asterisk by their name and all this other stuff. But now all of a sudden it's like, well, let's forget about that stuff. Let's vote him in. Let's act like it didn't happen.
The punishment instead of he's got 6 Super Bowl trophies.
We don't know.
That's still a part of his bio.
No, you're right. They're never going to be able to take that away from him. What I'm saying is this.
And that's why he's going to get in.
You're right. But what I'm saying is this. I don't know why this is like blasphemy to say, hey, this guy, because cheated the game. You cheated. We don't know how long that was going on.
And the game kept him in the game.
Hey, but you know that's what I mean? You're right. And the game kept him in. But those that have the duty or the obligation or the honor to vote those in to the Hall of Fame.
So
some of them are saying, like 79% are saying yes, and the rest are saying no, which he can't get in.
So if it's so admirable for these guys not to vote for him, where the hell are they?
I don't know. You're right. I want to hear them say,
yeah, I did it, and this is why I did it. I'll have a lot more respect for the process.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And look, I mean, it's kind of like it's just the NFL punished Belichick. They fined Kraft. They did all these things. And he goes on to have more success. And it really hasn't been a topic until these guys want to make it a topic. And Polian, come on, to first say you voted for him, you wanted him in, then you say you don't remember.
You know why that is. Where did Polian, what was he, a GM?
Well, at Indy.
Okay, of course. Absolutely. But because of those teams and what they did.
Deflategate was directly at the Colts.
Exactly. So it's like, there should be, dude, you cheated the game.
So, okay, but at the same time, is what is that influence in terms of what it's about, the accolades and the, we could go through Hall of Fame to Hall of Famer and look at what certain guys have done or been accused of doing or whatever. Guys that who knows what they've done, Mace, on the field or off the field.
No, you're right.
But it's not supposed to be about that. I mean, again, we can name names. We don't have to here. It's easy to find those guys. But like, you're saying it's off the field, so it's no big deal.
I'm not saying it's no big deal.
But if you cheated the game to this level, and it's not Pete Rose, because Pete Rose is never – was kept out.
No, and, why?
He's not allowed to be a part of the game. Meanwhile, the NFL just said, we're going to suspend you. We're going to do this and that. We're going to fine you, and we move on. We destroy the tape so no one else can see it, and we move on. It just kind of is what it is at that point. He's already served the punishment. I don't know where all
this
of
is
a sudden,
like probation.
It's a Bill Polian
this
now.
This is like probation. This is the second punishment, man. You know that. This is the second punishment for all those writers.
I want
those writers that were peeved. That were peeved that
I
it happened.
I want Polian to own it.
And he should.
He has to own it.
But say, this is what I did. And
here's
yes,
the other thing.
I ordered the code red because he cheated the game.
You know, it's all.
Wait, but there's nothing wrong with that. If stand by it, if you feel that way, you know, he votes.
I would also say, like, the response to this, whenever it's like he's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, then we all agree the accolades are there for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if he's not, who is?
Somebody that don't
Somebody
cheat the
that
game.
Did all that he did and didn't cheat the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously why they did.
We have
just,
seen
Andy
like,
Reid.
Just admit it. Just admit it that that's this, why you voted that way.
Yeah.
That's okay. That make it's common sense.
Well, okay. Real quick, there, mm-hmm. this is another problem. The Hall doesn't want them revealing who they voted for, or how they voted, which is ridiculous. So, like, you know, McClain and Armando came on the show. They have to like beat around the bush, but they mm-hmm. make it known. I mean, of course Armando voted for him. He presented him.
Yeah.
You know, like, but like, so you have you have Schefter breaking this news, and then it makes the Hall of Fame selector process look really foolish. And everyone
people didn't know that.
Bucket.
People didn't already know that.
What's that?
People didn't already know that this may be flawed. Like the voting process
flawed. No, not to, well, flawed in terms of the argument for Eli Manning or Phillip Rivers,
mm-hmm.
but not the guy who has six Super Bowl trophies.
Terrell Owens. You look at Terrell Owens. He is a no doubt first ballot guy, and he had to wait. Why?
Totally agree.
Because of things he did off the field or things they perceived he did in the locker room. So if it was good for the goose, then it's good for the other goose,
okay,
which is geese.
But that's fair. But so who is getting in? Who is getting in the year that T.O. didn't get in?
I can't remember.
At wide receiver.
Yeah,
I guarantee
can't
you there's
remember.
Another wide receiver.
I'm sure. Yeah, you're right. I'm sure it was.
And in this case, it's not coach versus player. Like, this is a separate category.
No, but it's Robert Kraft versus
But Kraft hasn't
Bill
been
Belichick.
Presented yet. See, Kraft hasn't been presented yet, to my knowledge. This is like a different pool. Again, it's so stupid.
Kraft wasn't a part of
no,
that pool.
Not this.
But
no.
As I understand it, guys, they had a ballot of – this is the special strand
yep.
of how you get
yep.
into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
They had five names.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They had Kraft,
yes.
Belichick, L.C. Greenwood, Kenny Anderson, and Roger Craig. So you had five completely different people, owner, a quarterback, a running back, and a defensive lineman, and you could only vote for three of the five.
It's like a it's
I understand
like,
it.
But one of them is a coach. It's like a coach category.
I know.
Specifically.
So why are those five people on the same ballot? They're completely
but they
different.
They have like a modern era, and then they have the other era, right?
Right.
And they
right.
have a committee that then presents that to the Hall. It's like the voters, it's like a committee that comes up with that group. Then you vote it down, and then you have mm-hmm. the contributor thing. Again, it's very – the process is going to change, I can tell you that.
We
but
do actually
it's,
have – sorry to interrupt, Hutton. We actually do have a statement from the Pro Football Hall of Fame
here we go.
On everything
oh,
that's
boy.
Been going on. And I quote, "The Pro Football Hall of Fame understands and respects the passionate reaction of many fans, media members, and enshrinees of the Hall itself in light of published reports regarding the voting results for the class of 2026. It's that very passion that propels the game. The Hall also respects the members of the selection committee when they follow the selection process bylaws. It is an honor to serve as a selector. Each year, the Hall reviews the selection process and the composition of the 50-person selection committee. If it is determined that any member or members violated the selection process bylaws, they understand action will be taken. That could include the possibility that such selector or selectors would not remain a member of the committee moving forward. The selection of a new class is the most important duty the Hall of Fame oversees each year, and the integrity of that process cannot be in question."
Damn it!
What
yes!
What are they going to do? Replace these guys with social media influencers who are going to vote? Like, these guys have been covering the league for five decades. If they all came together and revealed who they voted for, they're not going to be allowed to then select the Pro Football Hall of Fame members for the next year. They're going to go get, Jordan Hudson and some of these other guys that are out there.
I mean, Jordan Hudson may have played a role in Bill Belichick not being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Hey,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
There were some wisecracks to that effect in all circles, I'm sure.
I did ask the question. I wonder if Belichick would have had Jordan Hudson present him.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But listen, everybody.
I want to know her reaction, too. That would be great.
Everybody understands that Bill Belichick will get in. But again, it's like anything else. You, for whatever reason, you choose to hold a guy out. And I know that being a first ballot guy means a lot to these coaches, especially sure. someone like Bill Belichick. And right. to, because you now want to, hey, listen, we ain't going to say, we're not saying you can't get in, but hey, listen, what you did to the game, you compromised the game and put the game in a bad position. So, yes, you should wait a year. Not to say that you're going to get in, but you should wait a year. Listen, you should be like, okay, I get it. I understand. But again, it's the I deserve, so I should be in. Instead of saying, looking at it from the standpoint of, yeah, you're right. I did admit that I did those things and probably even worse. So if they want to hold me out, I get it. I get it. I probably would have did the same thing. That's how I would have approached that. Like, okay, I get it. You're going to let me in the next year? Okay, let's go with that. But waiting a year, come on, man. That to me, that rings like arrogance and just
it's this just a, it's message,
eliteness.
It's message
like I need
right?
like I should the be
message.
There. Like no doubt, yeah, you should be there. But don't you know you cheated the game as well?
Well, but okay, if it sends a message, what message is it sending when the majority of anyone's chiming mm-hmm. in on the vast majority, including the players from your era, Mace, and I respect where you're coming mm-hmm. from. But you've got quarterbacks and, I mean, Hall of Famers in general that are saying that this is stupid.
Because, listen, those same people, I guarantee you, especially the ones that played in my era, they were bitching yes. and moaning about the New England Patriots and they should have yes. asterisks and everything. And now they want to sit in their pockets and, oh, Bill Belichick. Like, you get on television or something like that so you don't ruffle their feathers. You can go in and say, hey, listen, he did wrong. He's still a great coach, and if he has to wait a year, so be it. I'm cool with that, but I'm not going to make a big uproar, and I think that's what some of these players are doing, knowing damn well that they were, like me, pissed off that New England was doing those things.
Well, I don't know if it's players in general, 11 of them. Like this, these are like,
no, I don't know if they're like, players or not.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be players from the era. You know, it's guys that cover the league and, you know, where's the coverage of Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft and everyone? You know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to see that. I was reading where the presentation for Kraft was something like he didn't know about this, about the Spygate stuff. It's like, okay. Like, Belichick owned up to it and then he took his punishment. And Kraft was also fined as much as you can find mm-hmm. an owner.
Can we also like have a? Can we just ask this. A question too? Why are owners going into the Hall of Fame? Do we really need owners in the Hall of Fame?
Because they, I mean, the owners want to be in the Hall of Fame. Willie, mm-hmm. that's why.
Yes.
Why?
It's nothing.
Why?
Because to show that what they're in the Hall of Fame.
Ralph Wilson.
Let's have the owners. Have the owners Hall of Fame.
Ralph Wilson.
The Pro Football
in the Hall
of Fame doesn't need owners. We don't need owners in the Hall of Fame.
Among other things, but I totally agree.
Nobody came to a football game to see an owner.
Totally Jerry agree. Jones. But like, but based on it, like if Ralph Wilson's in, Bud Adams should be in, we can go down this path. But in general, the owners want to be in the Hall of Fame. They want to be remembered in history and they want to do it while they're alive. And they also control all of the media contracts, especially Robert Kraft. That's why no one can make fun of him at the Brady Roast because Netflix wants the big contracts and Kraft runs that committee. Yeah. I mean, that's part of it, too. It's the political game of it. And everyone was ripping on Belichick. He had no power there at that roast. Other than Brady and Kraft.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D. Mace, Ving, and Adonik. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Willie, thank you, guys. Willie, is it colder there or here currently, wherever you are? I don't know where you are.
It's pretty close. I'm in Jersey City,
okay.
New Jersey. I'm looking across the river to the New nice. World Trade Center, but it's cold here, but I think it's close. It's comparable. 20s, teens, a lot of snow on the ground here. No ice. A lot of snow banks.
I was going to try to walk down to the game on Saturday, but I didn't catch the puck drop in time on the move up, so it would have been fun.
Hutton?
That was hockey weather.
Yes, stay warm.
It was
definitely
hockey weather.
Stay safe. We'll talk next week.
Yep. Appreciate it.
615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction on Bill Belichick not being a first ballot Hall of Famer, a story that has swept the sports world today. We will also get back in to Brian Daboll being hired as Titans offensive coordinator. We'll also talk about the Predators' overtime loss last night to the Boston Bruins. It's all on the table. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great sir.
I think the thing that I like about this, and that would give me some encouragement if I'm a Titans fan, is not only has he coached a number of different young quarterbacks, he's completely altered his offense to fit the skills of each of them, right? Going back to Buffalo, we talk a lot about Josh Allen's development, but y'all remember that offense, that was all gas, the 10 personnel throwing a lot, getting him to become a more disciplined quarterback in that process as well. And then, of course, the QB run element. Then in New York, Daniel Jones' best season, although to this, he also had a great season, obviously, in Indianapolis, but to that point, wildly different. The boots, the design quarterback runs, lots of zone reads. That offense did not throw down the field at a high rate. He wanted Daniel Jones to protect the football and to compensate for the offensive line. And then to Jackson Dart's and differences as well. There's through lines. You'll see a lot of RPOs, I think, you know, and I imagine that'll continue with Cam Ward, some college principals as well. But I think just for me, that flexibility from quarterback to quarterback is what is most appealing, because you don't want a coach to come in with this young quarterback and say, this is my offense, you're going to have to play this way. He's going to have to tailor it to the skills of Cam Ward.
That was Mina Kimes breaking down the Titans hiring of Brian Daboll and his fit with Cam Ward. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Somebody asked on the text line if the Titans have a news conference scheduled for Brian Daboll. I don't believe they do. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if at some point Daboll does a news conference. Robert Saleh's introductory news conference is scheduled for tomorrow, I believe, at 2 p.m. Central. So we will have that to react to tomorrow on a two-hour edition of DVD ahead of the Predators game against the New Jersey Devils. But Derek, Daboll runs what is known as the Earhart Perkins system. I believe that's what it's called, which he learned during his multiple stints with the Patriots. Explain for us what that is and if it's at all different from what the Titans ran under the previous coaching staff.
Based upon, you know, my knowledge of this offense, it's that it's adaptable. I've always said, and players understand this too, that the coach's job is to put you in the best position possible. Tell me what this guy can do, and we're going to find a way to do that so that we operate more in his strength rather than his weakness. I'm not going to take a team that I know isn't physical, or I'm not going to take a team that I know isn't good at throwing the football but want to throw it 100 million times. No, we're a great run team, so let's lean in on running the football more, and hopefully that will open up the passing game. And that's the way it was done back in the days, and it's still done to this day. But it's adaptable to his personnel and what he has, because if you look at his quarterbacks, and again, we went over these names, whether it was Tua, Jalen, Josh, Daniels, who else? Jackson Dart. Five guys that are sort of, they're similar, they're different in stature. They're similar in some ways, but then they're different in a lot of other ways. And he found a way to get this offense. But it was all, they all sort of had that RPO sort of in them. But there were other things that whether it was Josh Allen and using his big arm and pushing the ball down the field, or you know, some of these other, you know, Daniels, where a lot of his passes probably were intermediate to short, because, you know, that fit Daniels better than being a, you know, push it down the field more type of person. I would tend to believe that Cam would be in the mix between the two, not so much RPO.
You mean Daniel Jones there,
yeah,
right?
Daniel Jones. Okay. I was talking about Daniel Jones, yeah. Maybe Cam is more so of, you know, pushing the ball, because that's what Cam started, but also being able to incorporate, you know, this RPO into what Cam can run, but not being as heavy as he was with Jackson Dart, or not being as heavy as he was with Josh Allen or maybe Jalen Hurts and Tua in college. So I think this system will be adaptable. They got to have a power running game. So it's going to be interesting who they go get if they keep Pollard. Because Pollard, to me, is a power back. He doesn't need to be carrying the ball. He don't need to take on the load, but he can split time. So if they don't keep Pollard, maybe they go for a more powerful, diverse back in a sense, because that is going to feed in what they want to do from a play action standpoint.
Willie, which questions do you hope Robert Saleh is asked tomorrow at his news conference? What do you want to know most tomorrow?
I don't know if there's anything specific. I think I would like to hear him discuss why he really gravitated towards the Titans. What did he see in this organization? And, you know, he's probably not going to be, you know, maybe he will be, but I'd love honesty in that, right? He can wax poetic and say, this is great, everything's great. But I would like to say to hear in detail, you know, maybe what he first thought from afar, but, you know, why was he drawn to it? I feel like Robert Saleh would have had his pick of more than one job as a head coach. Do we agree with that? Do you think he would have been offered a job by another team if he turned the Titans down or waited it out, maybe gone to Arizona?
I think so.
I'm trying to think of which other teams he interviewed with. As you mentioned, Willie, he was supposed to interview once again with the Arizona Cardinals, but took this job right before he did that. Did he interview for the Ravens job? I'm pretty sure he did.
I'm not sure with that one.
I don't think Daboll ever interviewed with the Ravens.
Or are you talking about Saleh?
Saleh, yes. Saleh interviewed with the Ravens. I believe he also received interview requests with the Dolphins and maybe the Falcons, so I'll have to fact check that. But I agree. Robert Saleh. Derek, you said earlier, if John Harbaugh hadn't entered the fray, that Robert Saleh may have been at the top of the wish list for a lot of teams when all of this process started. One texter says, have you guys heard? Brian Daboll's middle name is Mike. The Mike saga continues. Sort of. It's not his first name. Mike Vrabel, Mike Munchak, Mike Malarkey. I mean, it's good to have a Mike, I guess. Yeah. I'm more focused on the fact that he's also bald. We've been talking about that. We are standing in solidarity with the Titans coaching staff. We are all about the baldness on this program. I'm disappointed they hired a quarterbacks coach who is not bald. He's probably really good at his job.
They had a good track record going,
but he's not bald.
Hired somebody with hair.
So I'm skeptical. And if he doesn't do well, I'm going to say, well, it's because he wasn't bald. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans again. Robert Saleh's introductory news conference is scheduled for tomorrow afternoon, I believe, at 2 p.m. We will have full reaction to that once we get on the air at 3 p.m. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, The Game.
And between you and me, my hair is thinning a bit.
Oh, Your Highness, I'm sure it's not that noticeable. Bald! Bald!
We are all bald on the program, but we are happy that the Titans coaching staff is predominantly bald. One texter says, being bald myself, I might become a Titans fan. I think you should just become bald to become bald.
Yeah,
it's a great,
might as well.
It's a great life. Let me tell you how much money I've saved over the past few years not going to a barber to get my hair cut. Now, I've cut the living crap out of my head more times than I can count, but it's free. So,
I guess so.
So there is that. We will have a shortened program tomorrow from 3 to 5. The Predators play yet another game on this East Coast road trip against the New Jersey Devils. So we will be on from 3 to 5. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us during the program tomorrow. Willie, big news in the NHL. Artemi Panarin being held out of the Rangers lineup tonight for roster-related reasons. So perhaps a trade could be on the horizon for the number one target for NHL teams at the deadline.
Ooh, where do we think? Somewhere in the West?
My guess is Washington. That's my guess. I don't know why.
Wow.
That's my guess. I would love him in Detroit. I think he would be a great fit in Detroit. But I am going to guess Washington. So Artemi Panarin being held out of the lineup for the Rangers tonight. He is the number one player on all of the trade deadline big boards. There are Predators players on those big boards as well. And the Predators fell once again last night. Despite rallying from 2-0 down to force overtime, the Predators lost 3-2 in overtime to the Bruins. The Predators did not touch the puck in overtime. David Pastrnak scored the overtime winner 15 seconds into the extra period. The Predators, Willie, now 1-3-1 in their past five games, and that one win against the Senators required a comeback from 3-0 down. So we've been talking about this great run the Predators have been on to get back into the playoff race. But part of me is wondering, Willie, if reality might be setting in a little bit.
I think they played some very difficult teams in there. I think that's part of the 1-3-1. I thought they played well enough to win last night. I didn't think the Bruins had their A game. But the Bruins are playing as well as anybody in the league right now. They're 9-1-1 in their last 11. They've won 8 straight at home. So if you look at who the Predators have played during this month, they played 6 of the best 10 teams in terms of the hottest 10 teams in the league. They've played 6 of the 10. So this has been a difficult part of the schedule for the Predators, yet they've held their own. So I think it just puts more importance on the 5 games that they've got left before the break, if they're going to continue to be considered with the in the hunt group. And I think we all know, as the backdrop, and you can tell every time we have Barry Trotz on, which we did yesterday, that he still knows the probability. The probability is that the Predators are probably not one of the best 8 teams in the West. And so the chances are, when they get to March 6th, they're going to be in a position to be sellers. If they go against the odds, which is part of sports, and they play really well between now and March 6th, then he's got tough decisions to make. And so that's why I think I like what he keeps saying week in and week out, Adam, and that is my mindset hasn't really changed. They're not in the playoffs now, and so I'm proceeding accordingly. But at the same time, he's not doing anything to sabotage what they're trying to do. And you can tell in that locker room that they're still pushing. They believe they can make it. Everything that you hear from Ryan O'Reilly and Steven Stamkos, they want to stay and they want to win in Nashville. And I salute them for that.
Yes, as you mentioned, Barry Trotz has remained consistent in every interview we've had with him this season, even when things started heading in a more positive direction with the team. He had the same sentiment as he did when things were looking incredibly bleak. I mean, I asked him yesterday if it was safe to assume that Ryan O'Reilly would not be traded before the deadline because of how highly he speaks of Ryan O'Reilly and how important O'Reilly is to this team. And he said, no, everything is on the table. And I think that's the right way to go about it. Again, the Predators have, if I recall off the top of my head, 10 games left before the NHL trade deadline. They have 2 or 3 games left before the Olympic roster freeze, so players can't be traded basically the entire month of February when the NHL takes a pause for the Olympics. But it will be, Willie, incredibly fascinating to see what Trotz decides to do. I mean, I was thinking about this last night watching the Bruins. You've talked about how well the Bruins have been playing. The Bruins are in a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. This time last year, the Bruins were prepared to sell off everybody, and they sold off a ton of high-profile players. First and foremost, Brad Marchand. Brandon Carlo was traded. Charlie Coyle was traded. They sold. They sold hard. And 1 year later, they are in the playoff mix in the Eastern Conference. So I was thinking about that last night as I was watching the game.
I do think that that's a very good point, is the Bruins have played this pretty well. The Bruins are not a team that have gone through a long rebuild, right? They have not, at least that I can remember, since the Predators have been in the league, gone through a 5 to 7 to 10 year rebuilding process. Because as we've defined, if you're going to go into the rebuild, that's a lot of times what the time frame is, 5 to 10 years, and no guarantees. The Bruins really haven't done that. They've done a good job of retooling a couple times and then finding a way to come back. And they usually don't pick really high in the draft. So they're to be commended, I think, with how they've retooled. And so I do think that is a noteworthy path.
The Predators are back in action tomorrow night in Newark against the New Jersey Devils. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. Derek, what are you going to do with your staycation this evening?
Man, oh man, the same thing I've been doing.
Buying all the fancy chocolate?
No, I don't even want to buy it. You know what? It's just now I just want to get home.
Yes, I'm sure.
And, you know, I think everybody in that, you know, where I'm at, they just want to get home. You see people coming in and out with suitcases, leaving with suitcases. But I think people just want to be home, man.
How about some room service?
Room service? Man, you know what? I never understood, like, when you go on vacation or you just go to a hotel, and I got to be quickly with this, you don't understand how much they have to really do to keep everything going and working in an orderly fashion. Just imagine that times, you know, two, because of the influx of people, because of the weather, and you are one of few places that has power. So and it's not just people, because people usually don't travel with their pets if they're going on vacation. Some do, but majority of us don't. But just imagine now you gotta travel with your pets.
Yeah,
man, I'm sure they need to be commended.
I am a huge fan of room service, by the way. I have a funny story. So several years ago, when I was still traveling covering the Predators were playing a road game in Las Vegas against the Golden Knights, and I brought my wife with me, and I went to go cover the game, and she stayed at the hotel and ordered room service. So she put on one of the big comfy robes in the hotel room, right, and ordered room service. The person comes to the door. She's in the robe, and he says, like, oh, you getting ready for a big night out? And she was like, nope. This is my night.
Hey, it was her big night. Her and
her
husband.
Room service spaghetti. No, I was at work.
Oh,
she was by herself in the hotel room.
Okay.
So,
well, hey.
Yes. Room service, Willie.
She has spaghetti?
I'm a fan of room service. Yes, room service spaghetti.
I've never had room service spaghetti. Have you, Willie?
No, I have not just gotten the speed. The room service is a change of pace for me, but it is, when the situation calls for it, it is a great thing. When you just make the decision, and then you're like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm not going anywhere. I am vegging right here. Then that's a good frame of mind to be in. You have nothing to do.
You know what the best is, though, room service, is when you're with your kids and when they're little. And they get to order their stuff, and when it comes, it's like a big spread to them. They love it. They get to sit there, and they think they're grown. So that's the part that I love. I don't have it anymore, but that's the part that I did love about room service.
It's dangerous ordering food in bed. I don't care if you're at a hotel or at your own home on Uber Eats or something. It's dangerous to order food from bed because you just never – you never know your limitations.
No.
You never know your limitations.
We went on – it was one instance with the kids. The kids and I went on vacation at the hotel. And this is how, like, kids really don't understand, but they love service, like room service. And they had – the place we were staying, they had these chocolate chip cookies that they made, and they were the best. And at the end of our stay, my son had ordered over $200 worth of cookies. Chocolate chip. Now, I ate some myself.
Yeah, yeah.
$200 worth of cookies? Yeah,
we were there for a while. He would have them by the pool. He would have them at dinner. He would have them room service. And I was like, he loves them. So, but yeah, it was $200 worth of chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, my God.
And he loved them.
Willie,
but that's the part I love.
Willie, you know, what is the...
I hope those were some really good
cookies. They were good. Those chocolate chip cookies were good.
They had to be the best chocolate chip cookies ever.
Willie, what is the biggest purchase your children have made without your knowledge that you had to find out about?
Oh.
Food or otherwise?
Good question. I don't think they've been guilty of anything like that, of ordering something. They will pile up the little ones. Like, Mahoney loves to rent the movies. Mm-hmm. and he'll rent it on the old man's account on whatever, Amazon Prime or whatever. You know, they just a little $5.99 here, $4.99 over here, $3.99.
It adds up.
It does add up.
Mind you, yeah. We were there for a week, so I don't want people to think that, oh, yo, he only had like five cookies.
I mean, $200 worth of cookies over the course of a week is still a ridiculous amount of money.
You
got to
imagine.
Were they big?
They were pretty nice-sized cookies.
Okay.
Yeah, they were nice-sized. But he was like, what? DJ was eight years old.
That makes sense.
And I was just like, you know what? I like the cookies, too. So
I mean, as long as you're happy, Derek, it was your money. After
I love chocolate chip cookies too.
That'll do it.
Everybody loves chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, even the bald guys.
And being bald, damn right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back here at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Robert Saleh's introductory news conference scheduled for 2 p.m. I believe. I hope I'm right about that. We come on the air at 3. We will react to what we heard from the Titans' new head coach. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us as well. A lot happening in the NHL trade-wise. We'll talk about it with him. But in the meantime, stay safe, stay warm, be neighborly. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will definitely not forget about you. We are an abbreviated show tomorrow, 2 hours leading into the Preds game. So peace, and I love you.